A reading from Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 16 and 22 to 26. A reading from the Gospel of Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel reading brings me back to a time last June when I was at a preaching conference on the Notre Dame campus. I was at Mass in the Basilica with my preaching friends. Now, I know that in my very best self that my attention should have been keenly focused on each word of the Eucharistic prayer. But, you know, the mind is a restless creature that sort of wanders where it wills, especially toward the end of the day. And as the words of the prayer flowed on, I was impressed by the weight of the huge pillars. I was in awe at so much gold on the ceiling and on the arches, and especially so much gold in the tabernacle tower rising up above the high altar. I looked into the dome at so many glorious pictures of the saints way up and beyond the altar. And then I saw St. Francis. Now, about that time, I had been reading G.K. Chesterton's story about St. Francis at the crossroads outside of Assisi. Where the roads came together, that little fool for Christ in the brown robe stood on his head. And when he was upside down, he looked at his beloved city and saw the whole place differently. The buildings, which were so massive when they were right side up, even the largest of them looked ponderous and precariously heavy when it was upside down, like it could drop at any moment. On the flip side, those tiny crawly creatures that went unnoticed when Francis soared like a giant above them, they danced daintily in the dirt when his eyes were down in the dust among them. As Francis looked at the earth from his upturned position, it was impressed upon him, according to Chesterton's account, that all of it, from the tallest building to the smallest millipede, hung upside down by a thread, the thread of the mercy and the love of God. It was suspended and hanging, totally reliant upon the one who had made it. Standing on his head at those crossroads changed the way St. Francis saw. His holy joy was that he saw the world dependent. And so for the little saint from Assisi, his freedom was that the greatest became the least, and the smallest of the small became the most valuable. Suddenly, at that moment, my mind flipped back into focus. My attention came back to the Mass where I was, because the celebrant had raised his arms to elevate the host high into the air. And there, at the center of this grand basilica where I knelt, there at the center of this immense building, there at the center of this celebration, was a tiny round wafer of wheat. At that moment, it felt like I was standing on my head, like the basilica spire stood on its tip, like the pillars were flipped over, like the grand arches became empty bowls, all upside down, hung by a thread on the mercy and love of God. And the body of Christ, in the midst of the body of Christ, was at the heart of that church, and the reason for its being. Seeing the Basilica of the Sacred Heart at Notre Dame hanging upside down has been a source of freedom and joy to me, changing the way that I see the world. Now, what if we take the gospel passage that we just read and turn it upside down? What if we strip away the weight of 2,000 years of the church's history with this passage and look at it afresh? Who is this Jesus of Nazareth who is eating the Passover meal, this nobody from nowhere? Who is this Jesus of Nazareth in a borrowed upper room with his band of other nobodies from the northern nowhere? All of those who were somebody ate their Passover in some other important somewhere. They weren't particularly paying attention to this Jesus of Nazareth, who happened to be in hiding from those who wanted to kill him. In his own time, he really wasn't much of anybody important. And yet, while they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many." It was a tender moment with friends. He took a cup, the one that was right in front of him. He took bread, ordinary bread, the bread that was right in front of him. He took what lay there on the table, which was ordinary and not particularly valuable. And he raised it up with joy, and as a result, it became significant. This Jesus of Nazareth, like Francis of Assisi, he also saw things upside down. And if we take this feast of Corpus Christi and turn it upside down to find what really matters, we find a God who is free to be so empty that he comes to us as nothing very much at all, just a little round wafer, bread on an altar. The one who is word and wind and fire and flame and holy mystery freely comes to us at this Eucharistic feast. The one who can and does amaze us, he comes to us in ordinary bread and wine and says, "I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to nourish you. Eat my body, drink my blood." For in an upside-down kind of way, his joy is that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Now, I think there's one other Francis who also sees the world upside down. For if we turn the institution on its head, if we turn the church upside down, then the man at the top goes to the bottom. The Pope is free to be the least of all, and those who live in the dirt, the poor, the marginalized, and the unseen, they become the most valuable of all. And sometimes I am impressed by Pope Francis's infectious grin, as though he has a private joke, that by becoming Pope, he has become least of all, servant of all, totally dependent, hanging by a thread on the mercy and the love of God. Do you think Pope Francis, in his long white robe, sometimes enjoys standing on his head at the crossroads? G.K. Chesterton suggests that perhaps the one who sees the world upside down actually sees it the right way up. On this feast of Corpus Christi, in that joy, turn upside down with me and let us pray together. Lord, you who are greatest of all, thank you for emptying yourself so completely in order to nourish us with your body and your blood. At this crossroads in our lives, we lay ourselves before you. We give you the weights that we carry. Let them hang dependent on your mercy and your love. And on this day, raise us up to be bread for the world. Not to impress, but to nourish, and like you, to be poured out as food for those who hunger. And Holy Spirit, fill us with the freedom of holy joy, and let our praises burst forth. For in the end, we are dependent on you, and you are all we need. Alleluia, alleluia, amen.